10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Watchman's Cry, News from the Wall, your source for the truth and what's really happening today.
Hello, my friends, and welcome to another session of the Watchman's Cry, News from the Wall. In these sessions, we look at reality and examine it through the eyes of spiritual and biblical truth. I'm Nathan Leal, and the website is watchmanscry.com. And today I have a very special program that is going to cover many of the things that we will be facing in the coming year of 2015. And we're going to talk about the challenges of the coming year of 2015. We're going to talk about the economy, the threat of war, and the spiritual challenges that all of us face. So please take notes and share this program with your friends and your family, with spiritual leaders. Some of you have friends that you've been trying to warn. Share this program with them, folks, because we talk about the real issues. We don't talk about pretend things. We don't talk about the nonsense that you can find on your regular cable TV channels or the echoed words that you can find on AM radio or many of the talk radio programs out there. Because on these programs, we talk about what is real and the things that are facing us in these end times. Because ladies and gentlemen, when we put aside all the distractions and the superficial nonsense, you still have real life to deal with. If you are a resident here in the United States of America, after the TV is turned off, and after the radio is turned off, and after you leave the assembly, if you happen to attend a local assembly, after you return home and go into your house, you still have real life to deal with. So in these programs, we talk about the challenges that every one of us face. I'm noticing that as the years progress, since the crash of 2008, it hasn't got any easier here in America. Many of you have very pressing challenges with your finances, with relationships, and many of you also have spiritual challenges. So we're going to talk about all of these things on this program, so I want to welcome you, and I want to thank you for offering me the opportunity to spend some time with you to talk about the truth. Because that's what it's about, folks. It is about the truth. Today we're in a new year, and it's now 2015. And in this new year, every one of you are going to be dealing with real life. If you live inside the borders of Necropolis, USA, you have many things facing you. Because over the past few years, Island America has been struggling. And she's tried to pretend that she hasn't, but most of you know the truth. For those with the eyes to see, it's obvious. Have you noticed it, folks? It's no longer a secret. Yankee Doodle cannot afford to heat his house. And disease-infected rats are nibbling at the crumbs in his pantry. And it also seems that Lady Liberty has been hitting the bottle lately. And she has an excuse. She says that it's because she's been depressed and she feels abandoned, because her old friends have not been taking her calls. But why would they? All she does is spy on them. And she also quit doing her job. Her beacon, her light of liberty, is depleted of brightness. And her people have grown weary of her promise of empty words. Because now the huddled masses have become the muddled mobs without a job or a dream. And some of them have even cried out and said, "Hey lady, we yearn to breathe free, but now we're just yearning to breathe from the chokehold of your overzealous sentries." The sentries who forgot that their badges are an honor and a privilege. You know, folks, the truth does not lie. Nation USA is now defective. and Lady Liberty's promotions have expired. And freedom's just another word for the photographs in our memories. Memories of previous decades when God's grace was appreciated and sought by the tired, the poor, and those who were tossed by the tempest. The tale of America used to be a chorus of hope, but now it's a sad ballad of how the West became lost. It's a new year, 2015. It's been 15 years since the turn of the century. And my friend, did you think that you would make it this far? Did you think that this world would make it? And yet here we are, and here you are, continuing in the journey of life, a journey that travels along a road that for many people is a bumpy, strenuous path. We're all on the path, folks. It's a highway broad for some and narrow for others. It's a highway that lately has been very difficult for many of you, because in front of some of you are boulders and obstacles, difficult challenges and hard choices. And here in the new year of 2015, I wonder how many of you sighed when you heard the others shout the words, Happy New Year. Because for you, the word happy left the building a long time ago. And it bought a ticket, left the station. And it said, it's been nice while I was here. And you had your turn, but it's time for me to go. So let me introduce you to my cousins, struggle and heartache. I notice it's such a common phrase, and it's exchanged by millions of people as the birth of a new year arrives. And yet I wonder how many of the people who say those words, how many wish that it was true or even possible? What do you think, folks? How many of the people who were a part of the big celebration, screaming the words Happy New Year, how many of them are really happy citizens? And how long does this New Year's happiness last? How long does it last, folks? Does it last for a day or a week? When people say those words, January 1st, when the clock strikes 12, how many of them are living it? You know, ladies and gentlemen, I watched the Dick Clark special on the eve of 2015 a few nights ago on New Year's Eve, and I saw the celebration. I know many of you also watched it. That's a common thing that many Americans do. And I saw that New York City was packed. Times Square was packed. All those people were there. It was a sea of human beings, a sea of individuals who had assembled together to shout the words, Happy New Year, when the ball lowered itself and struck the new year. They assembled, they danced, and they even sang along with that anthem that has now become their prayer. That song by John Lennon, Imagine. I've noticed that over the past few years, it's becoming part of the tradition to play that song right before the new year comes. And I noticed that the song is becoming a regular piece of the new year tradition. So as I was watching the people hum the song to themselves and sing it out, I could hear it in the background. I forced myself to stomach the absurd, foolish words of that song. Because here they were, tens of thousands of people assembled for a New Year's celebration that would climax with the words Happy New Year. But the anthem to get them there was a song that said, many of you have heard the words, Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us, above us only sky. Oh, and by the way, Happy New Year. It's going to be great, isn't it? Isn't it great? Pretend there's no heaven and no hell below us, but Happy New Year to you. This is going to be a great, let's whoop whoop and cheer. Yeah, yeah. And the people did. They cheered for a few moments. And then they got in their cars and left. Some of them went home and some partied all night, but eventually they all did the same thing. They all went to sleep. And then they woke up the next day. So here we are a few days later. I wonder how many of them are truly happy this year. And if so, how long is that happiness going to last? Because when the party has been put aside and the hats have been taken away and the streets cleaned up and the people go back to their regular lives. All of those who assembled at that celebration are regular folks who live here in Nation America. And all of those regular folks are those who are having to endure what is happening to this country. And whether or not they know what time it is, they are still participants. And so are you, my friend. Many people today are going through struggles, trials, personal challenges. Some people are going through a health crisis, a marital crisis, a personal crisis. And out of all of those people who are, how many are going to be able to stay, quote unquote, happy with a big smile on their face and a grin? Now, why am I bringing all of this up? If some of you are saying, Nathan, you're being a downer. You're being a bummer. You're a buzzkill. Why are you saying all those things? It is a new year. Let's be happy about it. Are you trying to be depressing to me? No, my friend. I'm saying this because those of you who are listening know that living in this world is not easy. And life is not fair. And living in Babylon is a challenge. Especially in these last days. And especially in light of what time it is. In light of the knowledge that America is going through a very dark season right now. It's not easy out there, and I know it's not. But Jesus never promised us that in our life it was all about being happy. He didn't, Nathan? No, he didn't. Jesus is not the Prince of Happiness. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And he offers the promise of peace and also of joy. And you see, folks, while the world outside the walls of your house strives to obtain happiness, they're failing. Because trying to find happiness is a fleeting cause. It's vanity, and it doesn't last. It's temporary. But if you're a child of God, we have the promise of His peace and His joy. Peace and joy, my friends. That is my prayer for you in 2015, to find His peace and to find moments of joy. Because happiness and joy are two different things. And it's important that we visit this because peace and joy are going to be necessary for us to get a hold of in this coming year. You're going to need to get a hold of peace in your life. Most of you know that. Most of you know that when the four walls of trial are closing in on you in your life, you need to be able to find strength. And as I look at what we're going to be facing in the coming year, we're going to need to find God's peace. You're going to have to get a hold of God's peace. And you're going to have to get a hold of His joy. You're going to have to get a hold of it so that your family can endure. If you're a father or a mother, if you have loved ones who depend on you for leadership and guidance, they're also looking to you for peace of mind, for shelter, for safety, for security. If you're a parent, those are the foundational things that we should provide for our children. So that's why I'm talking about it. My prayer is that you will find peace in the coming year. Because as I have been looking and analyzing and researching and studying and seeking God and praying to find wisdom and insight on the challenges that are coming to us in 2015, there's a long list of challenges that we face in a lot of different categories. It's not going to be easy. And I don't want to sit behind this microphone and pretend that it is when it's not. If you're a grown-up, you know that life is not fair. And you know that life is full of challenges. You know that life is full of contrary winds. You know that life can throw us curveballs and unexpected things. And that's just the normal part of life. And then when we add to that the geopolitical struggles that America is going through and what this world is developing into, the economic struggles, the failing economy, the threat of war, and then the incursion of darkness that seems to be developing over Nation America, my friend, you need to get a hold of something that is above and beyond positive thinking. If you're a child of God, we can have those things. So on this program, we're going to talk about the challenges. We're going to talk about the reality. Let me just say it. There is a reality of doom. But I'm not just here just to talk about doom. I'm also here to talk about how to cope through the mire and the challenge of doom. Because doom does not mean defeat, but it does mean that we have a challenge to become strong and endure while we're walking through it. Endurance and strength, folks, those are the things that are needed. And Jesus promised that He would be with us as we journey through the valleys. He promised that He would not leave us as orphans. So in the coming year of 2015, ladies and gentlemen, we may see and experience some valleys of darkness. And that darkness is real. That's the unfortunate part of the present narrative. The darkness has arrived and it's parked itself over selected areas of America. It's thicker in some places than in others, but most of you can attest to the fact that it's here because you see it, you discern it, you can sense it, and you've witnessed it. End time darkness is thick, isn't it, folks? It's a real thing. It's not just a cloud to observe from afar, but it's an actual cloud that is hovering over Empire America and the world, and it's affecting the lives of people. It's having an effect on the sanity of some people. It's a real thing, and I don't like it. I don't like it, folks. And I know that you don't like it, but we still have to face it. And many of you who are regular listeners to this program, you know what I'm talking about. You can discern it and you can feel it. But isn't it amazing that most people can't feel it? But those among the people of God who have the eyes to see and the ears to hear, and I thank God that that's many of you who are listening, you can sense it. And while we discern it, we cannot just discern it as an observation. We must approach it with vigilance, and we must be aware of what it can do. Because otherwise, folks, to those people who are not paying attention, the darkness, it's going to swallow them up, and, well, it's going to cause the faith of a lot of people to wither. That's what the darkness wants to do. It wants to wither and destroy your faith. This is the challenge we face. Because whether or not a person wants to visit these topics and talk about them or listen to me talk about them, and whether or not people say, those things Nathan's talking about, those are depressing and those are scary. Folks, whether or not a person wants to turn me off and deny what I'm sharing right here, these things are still going to visit everyone in several forms in the coming year of 2015. So we have to talk about it, folks. We have to confront it, and we have to face it, and we have to be bold to stand up to it. To stand up to it, ladies and gentlemen. And in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verse 10, if you have your Bibles, please turn there. If you don't have your Bibles, just write this reference down. Take these notes. But think about these words that I'm going to share right here, folks. Because darkness is a real thing. It's a tangible force. It's a tangible force of the God of this world. And that force wants to destroy you. That force wants to demolish you and have victory over you and defeat you. And Paul made reference to it. And he didn't say that we needed to deny it or act like it wasn't there. He didn't say that we should not talk about it. Paul said we needed to face it. And in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, Paul says, finally, my brethren. So he's talking to Christians. He's talking to those who are of the family of God. Those who are born again, blood bought by Jesus, who died for us on the cross. Finally, my brethren. So if you're a Christian, I'm talking to you, my friend. If you belong to the family of God, this is for you. Finally, my brothers and sisters, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Be strong and in the power of his might. You see, folks, Paul doesn't mess around. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, God was relaying our instructions. Be strong in the Lord. That means our strength needs to come from him, and our strength needs to be obtained from him. In the power of his might. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So that you can stand, my friend. Not run. Not hide. Not ignore. Not pretend it's not there. Not give in. Not yield. That you may be able to stand up. Stand. Against what? Against the wiles. The wiles. What does that mean? That means the trickery. The trickery that lies in wait to consume you, to trick you. The trickery that lies in wait that tries to tempt you, to lead you astray, that tries to deceive you, that tries to knock you down. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to be able to stand against the trickery and the deception that's out there. And the darkness that has come to America, that's arriving over America, it has this evil wickedness. It has this motive to try to affect the people of God. Because that darkness comes from Satan. It comes from the devil. And that darkness is going to try to make you stumble in the coming year. So my friends, That's why we're talking about it. Paul goes on and says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, and against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. There are very powerful spirits in the world in these end times. And as this world comes to its conclusion in the timeline of mankind, we are going to see the invasion of more evil. Ephesians 6:12, folks, those principalities are going to be fighting against you. They're going to try to destroy your marriage. They're going to try to destroy your health, your home life, your loved ones. They will try to do everything they can to upset your household. If you're married, they'll try to destroy your spouse with trickery, with madness, with deception. They'll try to tempt your children, your teenagers, your young adult children to fall away from God. So our job, ladies and gentlemen, is to put on the armor of God that we can withstand in the evil day. And I love how Paul says it in verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand when? In the good days? No, in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore. The evil days will be here, folks. In the coming year of 2015, there will be days that are blessed and bright and full of joy and full of victory. There will be days when your testimony is on top of the mountain. There will be days where the victory of God will be evident in your countenance and in your home life. There will be days where it is obvious that God has shed his grace upon you and your family and your loved ones. There will be good days. But in addition to those good days, there will also be evil days. Evil days where you're not at your best, or where a loved one is not at their best. Evil days where things happened, where life happened, where circumstances arrived that met you with challenge, where circumstances met you or your loved ones in any number of categories, health-wise, financial-wise, relationship. Could be anything, folks, but the evil days will come. And when they do, Paul's telling us that we need to be able to stand in those evil days. We need to be able to endure, not give up, but to endure. So that's why we're talking about darkness, folks. In the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 8, he said, but if a man lives many years and rejoices in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. Let him remember the days of darkness. This applies to us, folks. The days of darkness will come. And you know they have. Many of you can spend hours telling me about the darkness that has come to your life and the dark challenges that were a part of it. So why would Solomon say, let him remember the days of darkness? Well, it's because in remembering the days of darkness, then hopefully we also remember that it was God who pulled us out of the darkness. Hopefully we can remember that it was God who came through with an answer to prayer, with victory, with a miracle. It was God who showed up when we were at the end of our rope. Remember, folks, those of you that have been at this long enough, how many of you can look back and testify of the times where you didn't see how you were going to survive the trial that you were in? You didn't see an answer. You didn't know where light was going to come from. You didn't know how it was going to get resolved. You didn't know how God was going to do it, but he did, and he showed up, and he provided for you a miracle. And when God provides a miracle, folks, that's a testimony. So if some of you may be at the place in your life where perhaps in your past you saw that in previous trials God came through, but right now you're not sure how it's going to happen, today you say to yourself, well, that was in my younger days. That was in my younger years when I was stronger or things were different. But now I have a history. I've seen a lot. I have regrets. I've done a lot. Folks, I know that the longer we live, the more things we see. But the great thing that we have about God, about Jesus, is that Jesus is always there. Jesus died on the cross to give us strength. Jesus shed his blood so that his love and kindness could be new for you tomorrow morning. The loving kindness of God is new every morning. And in the coming year of 2015, that's also my prayer, that those of you who are struggling in your faith and you're not where you want to be, my prayer is that you would discover where you should be or rediscover where you should have been all along. And ladies and gentlemen, as the people of God, we need to get a hold of determination. Determination that we're going to make it. I want to see you make it, my friend. I want to see you have the determination that no matter what happens, you are going to continue to press on and press in. Now, if some of you might be new listeners and you may be saying, well, Nathan, what are we going to be facing in 2015? I want to spend some time visiting some of the challenges that we're going to have in the coming year. So my friends, please know this, that as I share these things, I'm not sharing this information to be negative or to ruin your faith or to bring fear or to bring any sort of doubt. I'm sharing these things so that you can know what we have to deal with. Because in knowing what we have to deal with, then we can formulate a plan. Then we can formulate a prayer request. Then we will have something to take to God. Then we will know what to take to God. Then you will have an idea of where you can maneuver your efforts. Now, try to take as many notes as you can. And when you're finished taking notes, I want to challenge you to take these matters to God in prayer. There's a chance that not all of the things I mentioned are going to apply to you. Some may apply to you. Some may not. But just take these things to God. And if you have loved ones that are also listeners to this program, pray together and ask God what to do. All right, ladies and gentlemen? Also, I want to share this, folks. The things that I'm going to talk about right now and what's coming are a combination of several categories of information. Some of them have to do with things that God has shown me. And what I mean by that is there are things that God has shown me over the years in research and in prayer and also in prophetic glimpses. Now, if you're a new listener and you don't know this, I believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I believe that we live in the last days. I believe that in these last days, God is able to minister in miraculous ways. My background is I got saved when I was 17 years old, and I cut my teeth in an old-fashioned Pentecostal Assembly of God church in Texas. I believe that God can do miracles. So as a watchman of God, I believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. And I believe that in these last days, if we as God's people are going to endure and have the strength to endure, and if we can expect to endure, it's not going to be done by our might. The Bible says it's not by might or power, but it's by my Spirit, says the Lord. In other words, it's not by human might or human power or human intellect or human wisdom. So my message, ladies and gentlemen, includes that challenge. Also, I want to say this. When God pours out his Spirit on a person, when God uses an individual and he shows them prophetic glimpses, like a prophetic dream or a vision, those things must be confirmed and tested by prayer and by the witness of others, and also they need to line up with Scripture. Scripture is very important, ladies and gentlemen. The visions that God gives his people in the end times cannot be new revelation that cannot be backed up by Scripture. I want to make that very clear. I do not believe that prophecy and the gifts, the spiritual gifts or visions, supersede the Bible or the Scriptures. Now, there are some people out in internet land who have said and stated falsely that Nathan Liao believes that his visions or his prophetic dreams are more important than the Bible. Now, folks, that's a lie. I have never stated it on record. I have always stated, when the topic has been brought up, that the Bible is the most important thing. So if you may be listening to this program and you're new and you're not sure who I am, I believe in the power of the Holy Spirit, my friend. And I believe that God wants to give you spiritual gifts. God wants to empower you with his anointing power. Because in these last days, the only way that we're going to be able to endure is through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's it, folks. It's not going to be through intellect or the wisdom of man or the philosophy of man or clever words or schemes. Folks, unless the Lord builds the house, we're not going to make it. If you want to go to my website, if you want to know about all the things I believe, what my doctrine of beliefs are, you can go to watchmanscry.com, and there's an about link on the left side of my page, watchmanscry.com. And if you click the about link, I have in there a doctrinal statement of the things that I believe. Today, God has called me to the office of a watchman. And the office of a watchman has the the job and the responsibility of being up on the proverbial spiritual wall of a nation or a given region. So my assignment is to constantly be praying and seeking God about things that are coming to America. As God shows me things, then it's my job to warn the people. And that's what this program is about. It is to warn those of you that are listening and to those who have the ears to hear the things that are coming. Now, over the past few years, God has revealed to me a lot of prophetic glimpses, prophetic dreams. Many of them I have shared on these programs and on other programs. Some of them I have not. Some of them I have published, and some I have just shared verbally. There are some dreams that I have shared on programs, and I did not publish them. So now when somebody asks, hey, Nathan, when did you say that one? Or they'll email me and ask me, hey, Nathan, when did you say that particular dream? Can I find it on your website? And by the way, folks, I want to apologize. Not all of the prophetic dreams and visions God has given me are published on the website, because sometimes I just share them verbally. And I suppose that would be a worthy assignment to go back and chronicle and publish those that at this point are just verbal or recorded on programs. That is something that I will have to do in the future. So if you're a new listener, that's what I do. Now, there are some people in internet land that have a problem with that. They say God no longer does that. He no longer gives prophetic gifts. Those things died out with the apostles. So those individuals, by the way, that's called a secessionist. Those individuals struggle with this ministry. And if you happen to be listening to this program and you are part of that group, God bless you. And no amount of arguing and debating is going to change your mind. And if that's where you happen to be in your theology, then I can't help you. And the things that I share, you will never, ever receive. So I just want to wish you well. And I hope that someday God will open your eyes. But for the rest of you that are listening, ladies and gentlemen, you have been on this journey long enough. If you've been a regular listener, you have seen. It's on record. The words speak for themselves, that God has given this ministry prophetic glimpses that are in motion right now. And today we're going to mention some more of them. And when we summarize all of these different events, you see, folks, it's not about trying to be some seer or sage or psychic to try to foretell and that's the reward. This has nothing to do with that. This gift has to do with the mercy of God. This gift has to do with God caring about his people, of things that are coming so that the people who listen and hear the warning will be able to take the proper measures to prepare spiritually so that they can endure what's coming. That's what it's about, folks. It's because God has compassion for his people and he loves his people. Now, over the years, there's been a lot of different things that I've talked about. And by the way, another thing, folks, I'm not the only one doing this. God has raised up a lot of people doing this. There are other watchmen. I'm just one guy. And I'm not responsible for the other people. If some other people have made proclamations or declarations or prophecies or predictions, and if they came true or they didn't come true or they're still in motion, that's not my responsibility, folks. I'm not part of those ministries. God raises up different individuals, and each individual is responsible individually for their own ministry and their own calling. I'm responsible for Nathan Liel. I'm responsible for Watchman's Cry, and I'm responsible to make sure that I keep my nose in the Bible, that I keep my eyes on his word, and that I make sure that I stay prayed up and that I continue to seek him. And as long as I accomplish that, then God and I will have a good relationship. But if I fail to continue in his word, and if I fail to continue to seek him in a heart of repentance and holiness, then I'm going to be in trouble. And I will be accountable when I stand before God. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a very terrible thing to stand before the presence of the living God. It will be a terrible and awesome and powerful thing to be before the presence of the living God. It is not something to be taken lightly. Every one of us will stand before God. I know that I will. So these things that I share them with godly fear. And I share them with a trembling spirit. And I share them with the understanding of how serious these days are. Now, there are events that are coming to this country that are going to totally turn this nation upside down. They are going to be incredible sights. They are going to be hard to behold. They are going to shake the hearts of men to their very core. They're going to melt the strongest of men to become children and cause them to weep like children. They will cause people who see these images and these sights to have such fear that their hearts will fail them. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not trying to paint a picture to scare you. I'm telling the truth because I have seen these things already in the spirit. There are great events coming to this nation, and as they arrive, they are going to affect every one of you who are listening. And even if the people are not listeners, it's going to affect them. The events that are coming are going to affect everyone, ladies and gentlemen. So my prayer is that we would become strengthened now in advance, and that we would begin processing how hard it's going to be in advance, and that we will start finding strength from God in advance and start filling our hearts with His Word and start building our faith and start planting seeds within ourselves of faith, hiding the words in our heart, strengthening our loved ones, strengthening our family members, praying for our family members, standing the gap for our family members. That's why I'm up on this wall, to share with you reality. Now, in the coming year of 2015, we're going to be seeing some things that right now, today, in early January, we need to start thinking about now and preparing for right now. Ladies and gentlemen, you need to start preparing now for what's coming this year. And one of the biggest things that's going to be coming is going to be the development of the drums of war. And by the way, I am not predicting the exact date of the arrival of these things. I'm just saying these are going to be the categories of events that are coming. And some may begin to come in 2015 and then snowball in their arrival into 2016. So some of these things may take several years. Some may happen this year. I don't have the exact timeline of everything. I'm just sharing the general categories. Now, the sound of the drums of war will develop in the coming year and in future years. If war does not break out in 2015, then we will see it continue to build into next year and the following year. But at some point, when God finally says, okay, it's time, I'm going to let it happen, and He lifts His hand of restraint from America, then the onslaught will begin. And we're going to see the drums of war develop with several nations. Russia is one of the main ones. We also see it develop with China and possibly North Korea and even Iran and some other Middle Eastern countries, other nations. But war is going to be one of the big stories in the coming year, ladies and gentlemen. Now, Obama has 2 years left in his presidency, and barring the cancellation of an election, barring him canceling the election because something weird happens, and I know that there are some of you who have some opinions about that and viewpoints and concerns that Obama may try to cancel the elections because America will be in martial law and we will not be able to get a... He's the last president, in other words. I've heard those theories. I've read the articles. I've seen the opinions. But I'm not going to say that that's what's going to happen. We really do not need Obama to stay in office for America to get destroyed by a new president, because there are plenty of potential candidates that will continue the mayhem and the destruction and the demolition of America that can follow in the heels of Obama. There are plenty of people that can do it. It doesn't need to be Obama to finish the job. That's what I'm saying. So whether or not he stays in the next 2 years or we get a new president, if war starts in the next 2 years and Obama starts it, he's going to hand it off to his successor. But between now and the presidential election, and I'm going to talk about the election in a moment, but between now and then, we're going to see a lot of rhetoric and a lot of propaganda and a lot of advertising and news shows and political speak and reasons. We're going to hear about a lot of reasons why war has to happen. And we're not only going to be told reasons, we're going to be shown reasons. We're going to see events occur in the coming months here in America and maybe in other countries that will galvanize the public's nationalism to want war with Russia or China or any other desired country. You see, folks, before war happens, the very wise politicians, they have made an art out of this. They're very deceptive and wily. They know how to do it. In order for war to take place, you need soldiers, and you need soldiers that have morale. You need soldiers who believe in the cause. Hitler made a lot of speeches, and he convinced the people that war was necessary, that the only way for Germany to survive and surpass its neighbors and to become superior and supreme in the region of Europe, they needed to have war, and all of the young men needed to join the fight to turn Germany around and make it superior. So in other words, he used propaganda and he used charisma and great speeches to convince the citizens of Germany that war was necessary. And in the same way, we're going to see that happen here. Right now, America's divided. For the most part, if war started tomorrow, the average American would say, you got to be kidding me. We already have been in two places, Afghanistan, Iraq. We're not doing this. I'm not signing up for this. You're not going to take my boys to this. Right now, that's the general consensus. America is fatigued with war. So between now and the next war, that thought process has to be turned around. And America needs to be convinced that war is not only necessary, but it's the only answer. It's the only option. War needs to be presented in such a way that Americans will be led to believe that it is a matter of survival. So I'm saying this up front, ladies and gentlemen. Great deception is going to be used to place Americans into psychological war footing. It's going to take a lot of deception. It's going to take brainwashing. It's going to take a lot of influence. So the big question is, well, what would cause that? How could they do that? They're experts at this, folks. Operation Propaganda will need to have several horrible events take place. In other words, false flag events will need to take place, or Manchurian type events will need to take place, where individuals who have been groomed or programmed or influenced or financed will be used to take part in events that will change the mind of Americans to desire war. I expect to see several false flag events take place in the coming year in this country and also in other countries. Now, right now, we're watching some interesting turn of events arrive in France with those Muslims that shot up the newspaper office and killed 12 people. Two police officers also died. That just happened a couple of days ago. Most of you know this. The Muslim extremists in France killed with AK-47 rifles many people in France, including police officers. And then later in the day, another police officer was shot. And what they say is an unrelated incident that has no bearing and there's no connection. That's what we're hearing so far. And I say, I don't believe that. This event in France could be a trigger to lead to developments where France becomes unsettled and in a war begins in France with Muslims against Westerners, because the Muslim population is very, very large in France. So that thing is developing, and that's just one part of the world. But we're going to see events take place that are going to involve Muslim jihadists or terrorists, or events also by Russia or by China or by the proxies of these countries. And the events are going to blame the list of enemies that we have, so that Americans are continually bombarded with how bad these people all are. Now, I am not justifying what the Muslim extremists did, because, ladies and gentlemen, the Muslim extremists are, I don't even know what word we can give them. They're radical. They're inhumane. They're cruel. They're corrupt. They're murderers. They're bloodthirsty. They're possessed by Satan. They're controlled by the powers of darkness. And that's obvious because of what we have seen them do already. But aside from them, the Russians and the Chinese and other countries who we are going to face off with in the coming years, we're going to hear about things that occurred, events that occurred, that will be blamed on those countries. And I want to say this, folks. When the next false flag event happens, or the next surprise attack happens, if an event that is so big occurs in the next few weeks or months in the United States, like the Boston bombing, if a major event occurs in the coming months, I want to remind you and challenge you to do certain things. This is one of them. If you have the ability to be near a TV when the news breaks on the coming event, and you have one of those recorders, if you have a DVR that can record satellite TV or cable TV, this is something that you can do. Record the entire news event. Just place it on record and let it record for a few hours. Because this is what I've noticed. When a false flag operation occurs, I've seen this happen several times already, folks, and those of you who study this have seen it also. Usually, within the first few minutes or hours of the emergency event occurring, many times the news reporters will divulge information that later on gets scrubbed from the official story. They will share how many people were involved. They will share how many officers were involved or what weapon was involved or some of the early findings. They will share it openly. But then, amazingly, the next day or in the weeks following, I've seen this happen. The story changes and you never hear about it anymore, which proves it's a false flag event because the script wasn't totally organized. Let me give you an example. I remember when the Oklahoma City bombing event took place in the 90s, in the mid-90s, when Bill Clinton was president. You folks remember that? Tim McVeigh supposedly drove a Ryder truck full of fertilizer, ammonium nitrate, and diesel fuel, and he parked it in front of the federal building in Oklahoma City, and he got out of the truck, ran away, and the building exploded. And during the early period, when they first broke in and said, there's breaking news, something happened in Oklahoma. I remember that showed the building with all of its damage, and the news reporters had stated that there are two John Does they're looking for, John Doe number one and John Doe number two, who had driven the Ryder truck, according to witnesses, and parked it in front of the building and ran away. And according to witnesses, they said that one of the suspects was white, which they attributed to Timothy McVeigh. And then they said the second suspect, who was in the passenger seat, was a Middle Eastern-looking person. He was John Doe number two. And for the first few hours, they kept talking about John Doe number two. But as the day progressed and then into the next day, the talk of John Doe number two was erased. It was scrubbed from the official story. The Middle Eastern participant was scrubbed. Now, why is that? It's because it was a false flag and the participants were not supposed to be known about or reported. So they changed history. We saw that happen. Also, I remember them saying that they found another bomb inside the building that was bigger than the first bomb that exploded in the Ryder truck. And they showed a trailer backing up to the building and they loaded something on the trailer. And the trailer was a very long trailer. It was probably 20, 25 feet long. And they placed something that was almost that big and covered it with a tarp and took it away. That occurred at the very beginning of the event. Now, after the story got scrubbed, the official story became that Timothy McVeigh brought down that building with a Ryder truck. And the official story also scrubbed the information about the second bomb that they took out of the building. And the average person that is using their brain would ask the question, well, if McVeigh parked the Ryder truck in the front, how did that other bomb get inside the building if he was acting alone? So as we progress into 2015, whatever false flag event they have planned, and I believe it's going to take a few of them, if you have the ability to record the event from the very beginning, please do so. And then share it with the world. Share it on YouTube. Share it on blogs. Share it as much as you can because the deception that's going to be used, ladies and gentlemen, is going to be so strong that it's going to galvanize this country to want to kill Russians. There is something they have planned to want to convince Americans that Russia and China and North Korea and all these other people are not only our enemies and people we don't really want to associate with, but they need to be eliminated from the planet. So if you have a nephew or a niece or a family member who will be caught up in the deception and the lie, having the truth and knowing the truth will arm you and help you to give them another side of the story. Now, it may not work. If you have a son who is gung-ho, ready to go because they're going to believe the lie, and no matter what you say, they're going to believe it, then I guess the best you can do is pray for them. But I'm saying this up front because we have seen this already too many times. Those who want war have their tactics. So take this under consideration, my friends. This is very, very important. Now, the propaganda campaign to take us to war may take a few years. And whether it's Obama that goes to Congress and gives reasons why war is necessary and presents information or evidence that he claims he has a hold of, that doesn't mean the evidence is true. We saw George Bush do this in 2003. Before the Iraq war in 2003, you folks remember that? From February to March, Condoleezza Rice went to the UN Security Council meetings and also Colin Powell went and they said, we're going to see mushroom clouds. And Colin Powell presented the cartoon rendering of a weapons lab that supposedly Saddam had that was portable and he could drive it around on the back of a semi-truck trailer. You remember that, folks? It wasn't even a real photograph. They used lies to get us into that Iraq war. And then when we look at Papa Bush, we saw the same thing happen. When the United States presented their argument, when Saddam had invaded Kuwait, we were shown the testimony from that nurse who said that babies were taken out of incubators in Kuwait and the Iraqi soldiers were stepping on them and crushing them. You folks remember that story? And then it turned out that that nurse was the ambassador of Kuwait's daughter, and she was lying about it. Ladies and gentlemen, they're going to use it again. They're going to lie to us. They're going to present false evidence, doctored evidence, to galvanize the public so that your sons and your daughters and your nieces and your nephews would join their war efforts. The Bible tells us that in the last days, a great deception would come upon the whole earth. It also tells us that the spirits that come out of the Euphrates River will go forth and convince the kings to fight each other, to gather at Armageddon. So demonic spirits are going to be involved. And that's found in Revelation chapter 16, verse 12. Let me read that. Then the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up so that the way of the kings from the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon. These are demons. Out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are spirits of demons, there it is, performing signs which go out to the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. Even the final battle will have demonic deception involved. So, ladies and gentlemen, the coming war, World War III, will also have demonic deception to convince John Doe and Jane Doe and Joe Sixpack, who are living their lives in America, that they need to be recruited to go fight for them. And ladies and gentlemen, if we are of those who have a sound mind, and if we are of those who do not allow ourselves to be deceived, then we must know the truth and be aware that there are a lot of lies out there and that this world is governed by liars. What I am saying is corruption is now at its highest level. Because when Jesus comes back to earth, he's going to set things straight. He will be the king over all those corrupt kings. And he's going to dethrone them. But before Jesus comes back, they're going to be doing their dirty work to deceive this world. Now, since we're talking about political leaders, presidents, and kings, let's talk about the next president. I'm noticing that so far, the powers that be have made up their mind. Now, things are subject to change. But I'm noticing that they have narrowed their choices for the next president of the United States. And it's going to be a presidential run of Hillary versus Mr. Jeb Bush. Already, folks, 2 years in advance, Jeb Bush is doing everything he can to show he's getting ready. Just a few days ago, he revealed his tax records for the past 10 years so that he doesn't make the same mistakes that Romney did. When Romney ran for president, the news organizations kept asking him for his records, and he took too long showing his tax records. But Jeb Bush is doing it 2 years in advance. What does that tell you? It tells me that he wants to be the golden boy. He's jumping through all the proper hoops. He's recently resigned from all of his involvement in organizations and foundations, and he resigned to get ready for his run at being the next president. Now, why are they choosing him? Why is he the choice? Well, it's because the Bushes are a dynasty who have been very involved in American politics for decades. We can go back several generations, up to four generations as I count them. But Jeb Bush, just for the record, ladies and gentlemen, Jeb Bush, who was the former governor of Florida, might have an advantage because his wife was born in Mexico. She was a Mexican citizen, and he married her, and then she became a citizen of America, and her name is Columba Bush, and they have several kids, three kids, I believe, and one of the children, George P. Bush, has recently entered politics in Texas. So politics run in the family, and all of those illegals who have been given amnesty by Obama, just think about this, folks. When they see that Jeb Bush has a Mexican wife and that their kids are half Latino, that's going to work in Jeb Bush's favor because that's millions of people who could potentially vote for him over Hillary. They will have an association with him. They will feel that they can connect with him. And from the political point of view, he has been pushing the right buttons to win them over. Now let's talk about what's going to happen if he does win. If Jeb Bush wins the next presidency, he's going to continue the Bush Doctrine. He's going to be Bush Doctrine 3.0. Because what his father started, he's going to finish or continue. Now the Bush family has been responsible for some very dark things. And the Bushes brought to America the stains of things that I never thought I would see. Because if we were to flash back, and when George W. was the president after 9/11, Dick Cheney stated that in order for America to fight terrorism, America had to go to the dark side. That's on record, folks. Dick Cheney said that. And then after that, we started to learn about Guantanamo Bay, the torturing that America had added to its bag of tricks. We found out that America was no longer innocent when it came to the Geneva Convention. And we found out that the rules were different and were adjusted in their war on terror. And the average American, here's what's amazing, folks, the average American was okay with that because they figured, well, they're only doing it to the bad terrorists. They wouldn't do it to regular citizens. They would only do it to them, not me. And the average Christian, conservative, Republican, American had no problem with it. So George Bush had a carte blanche free ticket to change the law of the land and add many presidential mandates, directives, executive orders, and laws that would then allow the United States to go to the dark side, as Dick Cheney prophesied. So now we have America that has gone dark and is no longer free, that watches every one of your moves, that listens to your phone calls, that reads your mail, that knows where you've been, knows where you're going, knows your face, knows your children's faces, knows your buying habits, your internet habits, your living habits. We have the Patriot Act. We have Posse Comitatus nullified. We have the militarization of many local police forces throughout the land. We have the militarization and the arming of local police forces to the point where there is now a national defense force against the regular citizens of America. Ladies and gentlemen, this happened by a Republican before Obama got into office. This party got started. So Obama then took over and continued the madness, and now it looks like George W.'s brother is going to pick up where W. left off. So if war happens to begin before Obama leaves office, we're going to see the baton handed into the hands of Jeb Bush. Now, I must also qualify, if perchance Jeb's not the choice, whoever the other person is will also be given the baton of war. But I can see the number one pick being Jeb Bush because his family is already experienced in warmongering. They're very good at it. The neocons have their list of desired toys. And if Jeb Bush is in office, it's going to continue, folks. Now, I remember when George W. was president, I would get so frustrated. At the time, I lived in Colorado, and I attended this very large megachurch. This is in 2005, 2006. It's almost 10 years ago. And I remember observing how the average person who attended church back then did not use their brains, and they did not use discernment when it came to what was happening in Iraq and Afghanistan and the laws that were being passed, like the Patriot Act, etc. The majority of Christians would get mad at me, and they'd say, George Bush is a Christian. He's a good man. He wouldn't do anything to hurt this country. And how many of you folks have also encountered a similar mentality? Republicans are the good guys. Now, just a few days ago, Jeb Bush made a comment about a law that Florida overturned having to do with gay marriage. It seems that Florida voted against gay marriage, but that got overturned. So he stated that Republicans must, quote unquote, respect the rule of law on gay marriage. He says, if you're like me, who oppose same-sex marriage, we must respect the rule of law now that the state's ban on gay marriages has been ruled unconstitutional. There's another report from the Washington Post. It says Jeb Bush, a likely Republican presidential candidate, called for respect of same-sex marriages on Monday as his home state of Florida began allowing gays to wed following a court ruling. So those of you in Florida who don't like that this rule got overturned, you need to respect it. You need to respect that two homosexuals want to marry each other. Respect their viewpoint. You need to respect their perversion. You need to respect that they have nullified the holiness of matrimony. You need to respect that they do not honor God. You need to respect that they have lifted their fists to God and claim that they know better. You need to respect that they are confused about their plumbing. You need to respect that even though God made Adam and Eve, doesn't matter, two dudes is okay, or two females, because Jeb Bush said so. How absurd, ladies and gentlemen. How vile. How evil. By the way, this is on record, and Jeb Bush cannot go backwards if in the days ahead he tries to promote himself as a Christian, and if in his stumping he visits churches and shakes hands with famous preachers and TV preachers for photo ops, and if he stands behind pulpits and talks about his vision of the future for America, please remember what I'm saying right here. Jeb Bush believes that same-sex marriage must be respected. So that is the future of America. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is why the Democrats don't really care if he wins, because he's not really a conservative. He's a fraud. Now, being that this is already on record, if Jeb Bush wins the presidency and he meets with Mr. Rick Warren and they pray together and they have the prayer breakfast in the White House, it doesn't matter what happens from this point forward, ladies and gentlemen, because his heart has been revealed. And because it has been revealed as a heart that doesn't honor God and the holiness of God and the principles of God and the righteousness of God, if this is the future leader of America, then woe to America. We're done. Because so far we have Obama, and that one's easy. Obama made no qualms about it. He's not a Christian. And he said America's not Christian. So if a fraud hypocrite wins the presidency and tries to say that we are, then it's just going to be in speech. It's going to be just empty words, thus ensuring that America is going to continue down the road of perdition. And let's talk about that for a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, we are now entering year 7 of this. It started in September of 08. This coming September will be the 7-year anniversary of the crash of the stock market. So we're entering the 7th year. And for 7 years, America has been limping, crawling, dragging. America has been gasping for breath over the last few years, folks. America is dying. America has forsaken God. America has turned her back on God. America has made it very clear that she does not desire God. America chose her evil, vile desires of lust and homosexuality. America's entertainment promotes it, and the people of America have displayed it. The people of America have shown it in their lifestyle choices. Today in America, there are more households that are unwed than there are married. Over half, ladies and gentlemen, over half of the households have people who are shacked up rather than married. Now that is a great testimony, isn't it, folks? Now what kind of testimony is that? That is the testimony of people choosing rats instead of the Lamb of God. The Ferguson riots revealed that there's a great divide over this country. The divide has become very wide. There's a lot of anger in the racial mixture of this country. A lot of anger, a lot of bitterness. And it's playing out from coast to coast, from Los Angeles to New York, Texas, all the way up to the Dakotas. We're seeing the tensions of racial animosity no longer stay harbored within the hearts of men, but now it's on open display, and it's playing out. We're watching a lot of black folks who are unhappy with their lives attack whites. And the news media is denying it. They're not talking about it, but it's happening. Most of you know what's happening. Nathan, you're a racist. No, I'm not. The black folks are mad. And they're becoming a force of very angry people. And this thing's going to continue. That's just one part of the sickness of this country, folks. The anger and the racial tension. It's going to snowball and get worse. But the darkness that's coming over this nation is now enveloping the hearts of men to the point where people are hurting each other. The violence is increasing. And now it is spreading to police officers. It's spreading to citizens who have a hatred for police. In New York City, they're ambushing police officers. It's happened a few times there. It's happening in the Heartland, in the Midwest. It's happened in Los Angeles. It's happened in the Dakotas, in Florida. The darkness is enveloping, ladies and gentlemen, and this darkness is going to continue into the coming year, and it's going to get even worse in the following year. Why is it happening? It's because when a nation turns its back on God, God sends judgment. We're watching it happen. There are four categories of judgment: famine, evil, darkness, pestilence, and the sword, which is war. We're entering year 7 of the judgment, and America has not repented so far. So we're going to continue to see this thing increase in frequency and in strength. And ladies and gentlemen, one of the biggest challenges that I share on these programs is that I want to challenge you not to just be a sideline observer to hear these words and say, yeah, Nathan, you're right, it's bad. Eventually, at some point, these horrible dark events will visit some of the most unexpected places in small communities in the country, as well as in the big cities or the suburbs. And as God's people who are trying to live with the light in the midst of darkness, you also need to live with God's protection. We need God's protection, my friends. You need to have God watching over you and your loved ones and your family. You need to have God watching over your children, protecting them from the great evil forces that are out there, because Satan wants to destroy anything that belongs to God. And that includes the innocent ones, the children. So my friends, please do not just be a sideline observer. Do something about your situation, which means increase the strength, the spiritual strength that you have with God. Repair the relationships. Submit your injured relationship to God. Refocus your journey. If you've been wandering away and straying, get back on the path, my friend. Come back. Because without God, you're going to be on your own. And those that are on their own will be left to the devices of fate and of the powers of darkness. And that's not where you want to be. More judgments are going to be coming in the year 2015. And as these judgments arrive, they're going to inflict a pounding in those categories I mentioned, including financial categories. We're going to see inflation increase. We're going to see food prices increase. We're going to see tyranny increase. And then we'll see war. So we need to prepare this coming year, my friends. Now, I have a lot more information that I need to share with you, but it looks like this is going to have to be the end of part one. I'm going to have to make this two parts because this is a lot of info, and it would be easier for you to listen to it if it's in two parts. So this is going to be the end of part one. Please go to the next part that was included in the email that you got, or if you got this off the link at my website, please go to the link to listen to part two of News from the Wall, already in progress.